note with a tiny little scrap of paper in our question box about 3 weeks ago. And I'm not sure how long it was laying in there because it was unfolded. It was about that big by that big. Just a little tiny scrap of paper. And it was folded in half, at least. It might have been folded twice. It was folded in half, so we could have missed it for weeks and weeks and weeks. I don't know how long it was in there. It was really small. But there was a question. Very faded pencil. But I was able to read it. There's a question on either side of it. I'm pretty sure I'd be willing to guess that it was from a child. The handwriting and the tiny square scrap of paper seemed to point that way. So I'm going to briefly answer the first question and leave any more explanations of the first question to some parents. We'll pretend we're doctors here today for a second. The first question was this: What are emerods? What are emerods? Well, I can certainly understand if you're a young person and you're reading your Bible and you come across that word, you aren't going to know what in the world that is, probably. Excuse me. And you're curious, what is emerods? What did the Philistines, what plague did the Philistines get? Well, the word emerod appears in Deuteronomy 28 one time, but it appears several times in the story of the Philistines, which is in 1 Samuel 5 and 6. We're not going to go there, but that's where the word emerod is recorded. What is an emerod? We're not 100% sure. We're not absolutely positive, but based on what the words mean, the Hebrew words mean that are translated emerod, we're pretty sure, we're guessing, the best guess is that they're probably hemorrhoids, okay? And I know that probably doesn't help young people, but parents, you can do any more further explanation on that one. So go to Mommy and Daddy if you want further explanation. But the second question on that piece of paper is what I'd like to preach from this evening. And we're going to go to the Hall of Faith chapter 11 of Hebrews, and read verses 32 to 40. And I'll ask the question in just a second. Hebrews 11, verse 32 says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." So this is the Hall of Faith chapter, and we're talking about Old Testament saints who had great faith. Faith to go through hard trials. The question on the piece of paper then was this, about verse 37. Verse 37 says, "They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented." The question was this. Now I lost my question. The question is, what is wrong with wandering about in sheepskins and goatskins? What is wrong with wandering about in sheepskins and goatskins? Well, that's an interesting point of view. What is wrong with it? Well, nothing at all, young person. I'm guessing it's a young person that had that question. Nothing at all. There's nothing wrong with wandering about in sheepskins and goatskins, especially if that is all you have. And I'll get to further answer your question in just a second. This passage here, this whole passage is describing terrible things that different Christians have had to endure. Old Testament saints. I'll be referring to them as Christians, but of course Christians are followers of Christ. They were followers of Jehovah and looking toward the Messiah, so they weren't technically Christians. But Old Testament saints, basically same thing as today as Christians. These are terrible things. This passage is describing terrible things that Old Testament saints had to endure and go through for Jehovah during the Old Testament times. And they endured them for their coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, they didn't know his name. They didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were willing to be persecuted for the coming Messiah. Basically, these believers were persecuted simply for being a believer. They were persecuted simply for being a Christian, if we could say it that way. Okay? The first half of this passage, verses 32 through the first half of verse 35, that first half is talking about the great exploits of faith that many of the Old Testament saints performed. I'll read those verses again. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again. Okay? So this is the great exploits of Old Testament saints. For instance, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Well, first of all, there are usually several different people in the Old Testament that fit most of these, okay? So just because I name a name doesn't mean that's the only one that fits the description. But David would be one of those who subdued the Philistine kingdom by fighting and killing Goliath through faith. All of the Old Testament saints wrought righteousness through obedience to their Lord. David and several others were given or obtained promises from the Lord. David received special promises about his household and that he was going to be in the line of Christ. Daniel, through faith, stopped the mouths of lions. Daniel's three Hebrew friends, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, but we know them better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would be the ones who this passage is referring to, especially quenched the violence of fire. Through faith, they quenched the violence of fire. They were cast into Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace, but the fire did not hurt them. Jeremiah, with many others, not just Jeremiah, but many others, too, escaped the edge of the sword through faith in the Old Testament times. Many, many believers were made strong out of weakness. Many were valiant warriors like David and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. They were all valiant, literally warriors, literal warriors, fighters, soldiers, but for the Lord is what they considered themselves, fighting for the Lord. Many of these Old Testament warriors turned the invading armies of foreign kings. It says there in verse 33, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And if you're a young person, you might wonder what that means. It means they turned them back to their own land. The armies of the foreign invaders, the Israelite warriors turned those armies back to their own country and sent them packing. They weren't able to conquer Israel. Okay, so alien there just means foreign, and flight means they were on the run. They weren't flying like in the airplane, but they're on the run back to their own country. Okay? And then lastly, in verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. Like the Shunammite woman's son, Elisha, I believe it was Elisha, that raised the Shunammite woman's son back to life. Through faith, the Shunammite woman came to Elisha, beseeching him to do something to help her son who had died. So through faith, all these great exploits were done by Old Testament saints. But then the second half of this passage starts talking about the persecution and the torture that other believers in the Old Testament had to endure through faith. Verse 35, second half, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. That better resurrection is talking about greater rewards in heaven from the Lord. Verse 36, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. To these believers, these Old Testament believers, a lot of our stories are great victories in the Old Testament. Great victories through faith, but a lot of them are where somebody loses their life. And a lot of times we actually don't have the rest of the story. For instance, Isaiah, it's a legend because we don't have it recorded. What happened to Isaiah? Well, it's kind of folklore history in church history that Isaiah was sawn asunder by, I forget which king. It was one of the kings that he had helped, and he was a godly king, and then went bad later in life. I should have looked him up, but anyway. So it's believed that Isaiah was killed by the very, very king that he helped most of his life, and he was sawn asunder, is the legend. And so, but the Bible does say someone was sawn asunder. So if it wasn't Isaiah, it was somebody else, or more than someone, more than just one. But they were stoned, they were sawn asunder. So some of these Christians in the Old Testament were tortured to death. A lot of them were mocked while they were being on trial, or while they were being punished, or while they were being put to death. Many of them were mocked, and a lot of them were severely physically punished for following Jehovah. For instance, Jeremiah was beaten and then put in the stocks for obeying the Lord. Jeremiah never lost his life, as far as we know. He never lost his life for serving God. But he was, excuse me, persecuted. Okay? So a lot of these Christians were mocked. They were severely physically punished if they didn't lose their life. And the Bible says that a lot of them were stoned to death, were sawn asunder. For plain English, that means they were cut in two with a saw. They were killed with a sword, the Bible says here. And then it says, our question verse, then it says they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. This is referring to the fact that a lot of Old Testament Christians, and I think maybe by even implication, some of this is prophetic of New Testament Christians, that a lot of Old Testament saints had their possessions taken from them, confiscated, and they were exiled from their homelands. A lot of the not everybody went when Judea fell to the Babylonians. Not all of them were idol worshippers. God had reserved a remnant that was still faithful to Him, but yet those faithful people still lost their possessions and had to be taken into captivity with all the rest of the evil ones, with the rest of the evil ones. But there was some righteous ones mixed in there. And so those guys would be part of these exiled ones from their homelands. So that this whole phrase here, wandering about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, it's referring to what some unbelievers had to go through by a ruler or magistrate or maybe even judge. What those rulers did to a Christian just because they were a Christian, an Old Testament saint just because they were a follower of Jehovah. During a lot of times, probably during when Israel was ruled by wicked kings and they were idol worshippers, there's probably laws that we aren't told about in the Old Testament specifically, that it wasn't okay for people to follow Jehovah. Very likely could have been the way it was. We know that Jeroboam tried hard to stop his people from going to worship God in Jerusalem, to go into Rehoboam's kingdom. And so he put those idols in Dan and Beersheba. And we're not told, but he very likely could have made laws that punish somebody for going and worshiping the Lord into Rehoboam's kingdom. So we're not told all all of the little nitty and gritty details of everything that was going on in Israeli life in the Bible. But we are given a little hint here that there were some people that were exiled. They had all of their possessions taken away. All of their money was taken away. All of their good clothes were taken. Everything in their house was taken. Even their house was taken. Their house and land. And then the Christian was sent away into exile. Into a land that was a strange land. They could have been sent into Moab or even further away. So this verse is talking about Christians who are, Christians, Old Testament saints, who are forced to scrounge for something to wear, scrounge for something to eat. They were forced to seek shelter anywhere they could find it. They were homeless people. They were cast out of their homes. Their homes were taken away. They were penniless. We could say they were beggars. Penniless beggars. And many times these were exiled away from their relatives, away from their friends, so that they couldn't go to their aunt and say, "Aunt so-and-so, could you please help me?" Because they were in a foreign, many, many hundreds of miles away from their relatives. They were sent away. So they couldn't get help. They're in a strange land where they knew no one. They had no friends there. And they might not even be able to speak the language of the country in which they were exiled. So that makes it even worse. They can't even make a friend because they can't speak the language, you see. And so this is talking about exiled and people whose homes and lands and possessions have been confiscated. So this verse is talking about Christians who are forced to scrounge, seek anything that they could use for a scrap of clothing, any kind of shelter they could use to live in for the night or maybe for a week or whatever. Seek shelter anywhere. They were homeless, penniless beggars, exiled from their relatives and friends, you see. And it goes on to say, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Sometimes these Old Testament saints, apparently, from this verse, sometimes they were taken away from all civilization and thrown into the middle of a desert, expected to die there, probably, for being a Christian. Other times they were forced to march out of their nation towards the closest border, even if that border meant, there's the Alps, get going, get out of Italy, you know. It doesn't matter how treacherous the way, you just had to get out of the nation as fast as you could or else you'll be killed. So wandering about in sheepskins and goatskins is not something any of these Christians chose to do. It was something imposed upon them. They were forced into it. Some judge, some governor, some ruler, because of unjust laws, took away the believers' possessions, took away their good clothes, took away their house and lands, and sent them into exile without anything, just for being a follower of God. And notice what God says about them, verse 38. He says, of whom the world was not worthy. Of whom the world was not worthy. What an honor here God is bestowing upon all of those who went through hard times for Him. This is saying, of whom the world was not worthy. This is saying that the world dishonored God's people. And these people were greater than the ones that were persecuting them. And that God is highly honored. God is highly honored by these men and women, boys and girls, whoever they were. God is highly honored by what they went through for Him. God is honoring them here. He was highly pleased that there were men and women who are willing to lose everything, even to lose their life for His name, for His sake. And God puts them in a very special high place in His reckoning of His children. I believe that those who have gone through real persecution, have lost houses or lands, or have lost their life, or have been physically beaten for Christ, I believe they're going to have great reward in heaven. Great reward. God is highly pleased when people go through persecution for His name. And notice also verse 39. Not only does He say, of whom the world was not worthy, about these people, but then it says in verse 39, and these all. God didn't forget a single one. There was not one time when one of His children went through something hard that God was not watching and God was not recording it to give them a reward. God's accounting books are perfectly accurate. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. God was watching the persecution of each and every one of those men and women. He cares very much for every child of His. And He says, they all received a good report through faith. In other words, God was highly pleased with each one of them. Each one of them received a report of praise from their Lord because of their faith. And then God challenges us. Notice a little statement. Well, it's the first phrase of verse 39 and the last phrase of verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. That's a challenge to us. God's challenging us here. He's saying, these all these Old Testament saints who went through all this persecution, New Testament saint, New Testament Christian, they went through all that without having received the promise. All of those Old Testament saints went through all those horrendous things without even knowing the name of the Messiah. Not even knowing who they're going through all these things for. Yes, they knew Jehovah, but they were looking forward to their Savior. They all knew, the ones who were believing in faith, were looking for a Savior, but they didn't know His name. They didn't know His name. They had not received the fulfillment of that promise yet. They were willing to suffer all of these things without even knowing the one who is going to suffer for them. They didn't know the name of the one who is willing to be tortured for them. It's one thing to be willing to die for the name of Jesus Christ or to go through persecution for Jesus Christ, but it is another level. It is a higher level to be willing to suffer and be tortured for a God whose name you don't know, and for a God who has not yet suffered for you. Think about that. Yes, they had the prophecies that the Messiah would suffer, but they didn't fully realize all that Jesus was going to go through on the cross. They didn't realize that the absolute torture Jesus was going to go through for them. They realized He was going to lose His life. He was going to be an offering and a sacrifice. And maybe they had some inkling of real suffering of the Messiah. But I don't think any of them realized the abject horror of the cross that Jesus was going to go through for them. And God is challenging us with this little statement. And these all received not the promise about the Messiah. These all didn't know anything about the name of Jesus. They didn't know what Jesus was going to go through. God is challenging us with that statement. Hey, New Testament Christian, you, Christian, who have the entire New Testament Bible, you who know the whole story, these fellas here, they went through all this torture and these different horrendous deaths and these terrible exiles. These Old Testament saints went through all that for me, God says, only knowing a fraction, just a fraction of the story. New Testament saint, you've got the whole story. You have received the promise. What are you willing to do for me? God is saying here. God is challenging us with. Those went through all that not having received the promise. You who have received the promise, what have you done for your Savior? What are you willing to do for the Savior? How far will you go for Jesus Christ anyway? If push comes to shove, and it's looking like it just might come to shove here in America, how much persecution will you take for Jesus' name? God is saying these laid down their lives for a Savior whom they knew not. You have a personal walk with Jesus Christ. What will you do? What will you and I do? How far will you go for Jesus Christ? What is the length your faith will allow you to go? You see. What is the length of your faith? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this Hall of Faith chapter. So rich in instruction and rich in challenge, but also encouragement. But what examples we have here. What examples. So Lord, help our faith, build our faith, so that we will be ready to go through anything for you, Father. Pray that you bless each one here and each one that listens to this message, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.